San Diego's talk radio leader, 760 KFMB presents It's Your Money and Your Life. For the next hour, Richard Muzio and Joe Vecchio will educate and inform you on matters related to your financial future, your life, and your leisure. Now, with It's Your Money and Your Life, here are Richard and Joe.
Hi, this is Richard Muzio with It's Your Money and Your Life, and we've got the first part of a very special three-part series starting tonight, focusing on Servant Leadership Institute and their fifth annual national conference coming up here in lovely Coronado at the Coronado Marriott on March 9th and 10th. And you don't want to miss not only this show, obviously, which you're already listening to, but the next two shows on Feb 21 and February 28th. February 21st, we're going to have Ken Blanchard, the internationally best-selling author and leadership expert, along with Debbie Marriott Harrison, who's in charge of corporate culture for the Marriott Corporation. And then on February 28th, Stephen M.R. Covey, talking about the speed of trust, again, one of the leading experts in leadership in this country, along with a couple of great guests from WD-40. And we are here with Scott Schimmel, who is the co-founder and president of U-School, and he's going to be one of the presenters at the Servant Leadership Institute event that's coming up on March 9th and 10th in lovely Coronado, California, at the Coronado Marriott. That's Servant Leadership Institute's fifth annual national conference. Information at servantleadershipinstitute.com. Scott, really appreciate you being here. How are you today?
Oh, I'm great. It's hard to complain when you're in San Diego in January.
Yeah, I know. I periodically check the weather of all my friends in different places back east in the Midwest, and I almost feel guilty living here. But I said almost feel guilty living here.
We call this sunpocalypse.
Exactly. Right? Exactly. So you've got a really interesting business, U-School, vocational focus, correct?
Yeah, that's right. Beyond that, but absolutely, helping people figure themselves out by way of work and much more.
Because let me ask a question. I mean, I've got three kids who are 23, 22, and 18, and I've always encouraged them to pursue their passion and follow their dream as opposed to, for example, taking the right AP courses in high school and going to the right college and getting the right job.
Good for you.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Actually, it's even better for them because they've turned out to be amazingly independent and bright and interesting kids who are really concerned about their world and their community. But do you find that a lot of kids don't necessarily take on that certain track successfully because they really have other interests and passions that maybe they should be more interested in following?
Yeah, I think it completely depends on what kind of students you're talking about. I spent a lot of time in different demographics. So the high achieving, let's say the private school or the high achieving public schools, I think there's quite a bit of mentality of just do what's expected of you. Mm-hmm. And what's expected of you is a lot. It's, like you said, AP classes. It's not one sport. It's two or three sports. It's piano. It's just get involved and do everything. And in some ways, the message is be successful at all costs, and particularly the cost of you, your passions and your interests. And one of the terms we've been developing over the last couple of years working with students is it's really important to follow your passions. And first, it's even more important to figure out what those are. But let's say you do get a dream for your life. You know, that dream actually has to be grounded in reality. So we call it get a sober dream. Mm-hmm. And you've probably watched like American Idol, like that's on right now. And first few episodes, they're just classic. People that come in pre-interview and they say, oh, I'm a star. I'm get ready, America. You're going to see what kind of talent I have. And then they go in front of the judges and they're awful. I mean, they're just atrocious. And then the judges tell them so. And they come out, and the most interesting part is a lot of the time in that exit interview, there's people that look in the camera and say, the judges got it wrong. Mm-hmm. I am talented. I will be back. And I just want to think, like, those people, one, don't have a friend that tells them the truth. And two, I mean, all that passion, all that energy, all that drive, just sadly, tragically misguided. And so what does it look like to develop a dream that is appropriately sober, that does have things anchored in there, like pay the bills. You got to pay the bills. Mm-hmm. But life does go better if you're closer to the sweet spot. I think everybody agrees with that.
Scott, we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to be right back on It's Your Money and Your Life. Everybody, hang on. We're back with It's Your Money and Your Life. So tell me, Scott, what was the genesis for founding U School? How did that come to be?
There's a couple sides of the story. I spent 10 years working with college students, and after about 8.5 years, realized I couldn't think of too many college students that I worked on all the top-tier schools in San Diego, every campus. Couldn't think of too many students that graduated, went off, started life, and were doing well. And that's probably a nice way to tell a story.
Sure.
I sat down with hundreds of them, and young professionals, 22, 32, they told me, you know, frankly, I'm miserable. And life is not the way I thought it would turn out. And I really have no idea what to do next. And so I started to kind of reverse engineer that and think, okay, what's going on in college? Because in high school, there's this great theory. You don't need to figure yourself out yet. That's what college is for.
Sure.
Go out and find yourself. And then I think in college, it starts to translate into, okay, I still don't know. I haven't found myself yet. And then you get parents saying, well, you don't really need to find your thing. Go out and get a job.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'll find your thing. And that's, you can call that trial and error. That's one way to do life. So noticing almost all, if not, you know, 95% of students graduating and not making much with their life, not doing much, not making much meaning, not finding much joy, not even sticking with jobs for very long. I was in the ground in the trenches, and then co-founders with U School, guys that have done consulting, branding, innovation design stuff, were sick of inheriting executive teams as clients made up of a bunch of insanely successful execs running huge $1 million, $1 billion budgets and departments who, if you pull back the layer a little bit, they would confess, I'm miserable.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how I got here. And now I've got a wife and kids and a mortgage, and I don't know how to get out of this. So we came together and said, there's got to be a better way to do life. But two, what is that? How do you actually help somebody on the front end of their life figure themselves out so that the rest of their lives, they're making wise, informed choices for the right reasons? And so we've been up and at them for a couple of years now and seen quite a lot of fruit in terms of impact.
Yeah, it's really neat. I'm 56, and I still haven't figured out what I want to do when I grow up, but I'm well, having a lot of fun.
Don't sound like the president.
Exactly, but I'm having a lot of fun, you know, just getting paid for being me and doing the things I do every day that I hope make my community a better place, so I've got no complaints. I'm a really lucky guy.
You're making that work.
Really lucky guy. So tell me, you're going to be at the Servant Leadership Institute event. I believe you're leading one of the breakout sessions, correct?
That's right, yep.
So what does all of this that we just talked about, what on earth does it have to do with servant leadership?
Well, great question, because I've been watching students graduate into the workplace for the last 13 years. And I think a part of that, one, it's kept me pretty young. And two, to be in the mentality of what young people want and what they're looking for. I think if you Google right now, Gen Y in the workplace, millennials in the workplace, mm-hmm. what you'll find is probably hundreds of thousands of hits, articles, and the vast 99% of them are complaints about these young kids who are taking over the workplace. And I forget what all the stats are. In 2025, they're going to be more than 50% of the workplace. They're coming, and it's all pretty bad news
mm-hmm.
because they're entitled, they're selfish, they're narcissistic.
Right, they don't know what a piece of paper is.
Yeah, totally. They've never worked for anything. And a big part of why I'm motivated to be a part of the servant leadership conversation is I think they get a bad rap unfairly. And what I think they're asking for, young people in general, is to be led well. And that's where servant leadership comes in. Servant leadership as a philosophy says, I will forsake what I want and what I need so that I can serve you, come alongside you, and figure out what you want and what you need. And that's really good leadership and good management. And so to translate servant leadership as a philosophy into an actual framework with process and principles to develop and harness all the potential of young people, that makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah, and let me ask you a question. If it's off point, just say so, and we won't go there. But I work with some very wealthy older folks, and they also have in their family second and third generation family members that are millennials and so on, and they're very bright, creative young people. And I've noticed a real disconnect, let's say, between the baby boom generation and millennials, because in the one case of the baby boomers, they feel like now they're sort of getting to be ignored because, for one thing, they tend to not be very technologically competent, which makes it difficult for them to participate in the way information and energy moves today. Yet they tend to possess a huge amount of experience and wisdom, having been through things like World War II and the, you know, the economic boom of this country in the 1950s and Vietnam and the women's liberation movement and the civil rights movement. And then on the other hand, you have millennials who are really bright, creative young people who don't want to do it the old way. And I think they're dying to be mentored, but they don't necessarily connect with the older generation because, again, the millennials are so dialed into, like I said, they don't even know what a piece of paper is. They transmit information and knowledge seamlessly, you know, through the internet and outer space without ever even touching the things that the older folks are looking at touching. Do you feel that there's a gap between these two generations with X and Y, I guess, sort of being stuck in the middle that somehow we need to bridge? Because I just find the wisdom of the older generation to be of such great value. And I find that the passion and the intellectual capability of the young people to just be beyond belief. And I always ask myself, how can we bring all of this together to make the world a better place?
I think, well, you definitely framed that right. And I think that's absolutely true. And I think a part of what happens when there's distance is we tend to resort to reacting out of that. Mm-hmm. And for instance, I think oftentimes I'll sit with some older folks and, like you said, desperate for their wisdom, very interested in their stories. And very quickly they turn into pontificating and lecturing. And it's what I did when I was your age. And some of that, for sure, is accurate and relevant, but at least half, it frankly, isn't anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And on the flip side, from a young generation who has been had their hands held, and from the first day you get into class, here's what's expected of you to get an A, people that really haven't had to take much initiative in terms of their learning.
Right, they've been micromanaged by mommy and daddy.
Yeah, so I see a generation that doesn't quite know how to ask good questions.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe it's oversimplifying, but if we can, in a servant leadership posture, have older folks say, gosh, what would it be like for me to come alongside, not to stand on top of, but come alongside a younger generation and have a good conversation, to maybe even ask a few questions first, to maybe even ask for permission. Hey, I've got some stories I'd love to share with you if you're interested. I know the answer would be yes. And on the flip side, for some younger folks to actually take the posture of sitting at someone's feet and coming up with a set of really good questions. That's something I've been telling young people all the time. If you are going to get the opportunity to sit down in front of people that have done things that you could only dream of, so what are your questions? What are your go-to questions? The 6-10 things that you just have, like, type them in your phone. Pull them up when you sit down at a table next to somebody that's been there, done that. And I think you can see really great conversations start to happen as we learn from one another.
Yeah, and I think it's critical that we find ways to do that, because I think it's very clear that the older generations are going to work longer, with the public pension crisis and everything else. Yeah. They're saying that people 65, 70, 75, they may change careers or do things on a part-time basis, but they'll still be in the workforce, whereas 20, 30 years ago, you didn't see people of that age in the workforce. And so, in a sense, they're competing for the same jobs in some cases with the younger crowd. And that in and of itself could cause some conflict, too. And so I think finding ways to frame really coherent and accretive discussions, I think it's going to be critical for the future of all generations.
And I think if you refuse the posture of suspicion or competition, instead have an assumption. Mm-hmm. What if we all have an assumption that the other person has value and mm-hmm. has something to share and a gift? And I'm curious about that, and I'm going to seek out what that is. I think we would see a lot of potential harness. I mean, that's an overused general statement, but there is potential that we're sitting on. The power of wisdom and combined with the power of people that have quite a bit of energy and technological skill, I mean, to put that together, I think you're right. There's quite a bit of opportunity there.
But Scott, we're really looking forward to having you out at the Servant Leadership Institute event on March 9th and 10th in Coronado. And again, it's servantleadershipinstitute.com. Really appreciate you taking some time out of your busy day to spend some time with us talking about what we've got coming up. It's very, very exciting stuff. So thank you again.
Absolutely. Go back and enjoy the sunshine.
All right. You as well. Take care, Scott. Thanks so much.
Thanks.
As always, a big thank you to Eric Rubalcava on the board, helping us out as he does so professionally every Saturday night. Also, big thanks to Dave Sniff, our programming genius, and Craig Blanke on the sales side. My partner Joe Vecchio will be back when the Servant Leadership Institute series is done. He's been out working on a special film project. So again, thanks everybody. Join us next week on It's Your Money and Your Life. Have a great week, everybody. Thank you.
The AM. AM 760.
When you need to find a part at a price that's right, that red and blue sign is just within sight. Roll in to CarQuest and roll on.
Domestic, European, or Asian, CarQuest has the right parts to keep you safely on the road. With over 800,000 products available, you're sure to find exactly what you need when you visit CarQuest Auto Parts. Great people, great products, great prices.
Roll in to CarQuest and roll on.
Welcome to Staples.
Hey, Staples guy, how do I know I'm getting the best price on this laptop?
Staples will match our competitors' prices, even if you find it online.
What about this tablet?
Price match guarantee.
And the smartphone?
Yep.
What about these ink cartridges, my chances of winning the lottery, and toner?
Guaranteed, no way guaranteed, guaranteed.
Make on budget happen, make best prices happen. Staples, make more happen. Now at Staples, save up to $220 on select HP laptops powered by...